This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I'm running just a little late getting back home. It's episode 78, somewhere in there. When I upload it, I'll get the right number on it. I'm running just a little late because I had to make a delivery over to my mother-in-law's house because I'm using that as a staging area tomorrow because tomorrow, we'll see how this goes. I think tomorrow possibly has the highest potential of anything I've ever done for me to get mugged. So, we'll see how this goes. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it will all be fine. I think a good time will be had by all. But we'll just see how this goes. And with the way... Well, I'll probably upload. I was going to say, with the way everything is going today, I don't know that I'll even have this podcast uploaded until it's all over tomorrow. But that's not true. Because I'll probably upload the podcast when I get home. I am heading home at this point. I'm going to pick up my wife, and then we're going to run over to Willard because our small group that we normally have at our house, one of the members of our small group, wanted us to come to her house, so we're going to do that tonight and see her nice new home that she's gotten and rejoice with her on that and have our little small group. And so I should be back, I don't know, hopefully 8:30-ish, 9-ish. I have a little bit to do tonight, but I think I'm all prepped for tomorrow. And tomorrow is actually a tad easier than I thought it was going to be. Some things have moved around a little bit, which is good. It's good. Yeah. So we're going to see how this goes. Man. Yeah. I probably should stop and fill up my car with gas. So I'm going to have to pause here on this just so that I can have that out of the way and done. Because we're doing some car swapping tomorrow as well. So, there's just all kinds of fancy things going on tomorrow. Work is going well. Got all the things done this week that I wanted to get done this week. And so we're getting ready for another little deployment going out. And so that all seems to be fine. And the writing is going well. I did start book 17 this week. Just kind of wandered my way into it, as I am wont to do. I usually try to get started a little early with each new book, and that allows me to ease back into the writing. So I'm certainly not on target for what I would normally be doing this in a week worth of writing. But I do bank 6,500 words or so just from the boilerplate stuff of the introduction and the characters and terminology and all that kind of stuff. And since I already have that banked, then that gives me a real jump start on that first week, and it gives me a chance to kind of ease into it again. It's just really interesting, you know, because I have no idea. I mean, I know where we're starting out on this book, and I know kind of the things that I want to cover, but I mean, it's like, well, here we are. It's so fascinating. So, you know, I will admit that before I actually sit down and start writing, I mean, there can be this little, what in the world are we going to fill up a whole book with type of a thing. But, I have plenty of things hanging out there. You know, I've spent 16 books spreading out and bringing up things and leaving issues unresolved, and now I gotta start bringing them down and bringing them home. And I haven't left everything unresolved, obviously. I've resolved some things that needed to be resolved. But there have been some pretty major things. Excuse me. There have been some pretty major things that I have left unresolved, and I know how those are going to be resolved, those things. And then I have some other things that I just left open because it seemed like the right thing to do. And so, you know, I'll use these eight books, these last eight books, to kind of hone that down and get that done. But I like where I'm starting. So, you know, you always want to start off with something that makes people go, what is going on? So that'll be fun. 16, as I've said, I'm happy with how 16 turned out, where we ended up with 16. It was the culmination of things I had been building on for eight books, and that all seemed to tie together and lock together, and yay. So that's good. Now it's just a matter of getting the rest of this stuff wrapped up. So that's good. I'm almost to the gas station here. And then once I get some gas and get the gas station stuff resolved, then I will be getting to my notes for the little article. And it will only be 10 minutes to home. And I will have to say, you know, wrapping it up, because it is right now, it's like 5:07. It's about 5:07, and we are theoretically going to be at the small group meeting house at 6 o'clock, and it's a 15-minute drive. So, gotta get home. Gotta collect my beloved and gotta get this thing done. The small group actually isn't until 6:30, but we've got to get her television set up so that we can watch our little YouTube-y thing. Okay, I'm gonna put this on pause. I'll be right back. Okay, forgot to start this back up. It's a little chilly. This is really interesting weather because it's just been lovely and gorgeous and lovely and gorgeous and lovely and gorgeous. And then today it snowed. So there you go. Which means that the temperature obviously has dropped and we're down in the 30s at this point, which, you know, that's not bad. It's not bad. It's just the difference. So, in happier news, I had actually caught, I think it was a little cold or something. Maybe it was Omicron BA2. Who knows? I had actually caught this little kind of cold on last Friday. I thought it was just because of something I had ate on Friday, and then it hung on and it hung on, and I've been, you know, dosing it with Robitussin to keep it out of my chest and keep my nose opened up and all that kind of stuff. And I still have just a little something in the back. But that was bad because I was like, I have such a big day tomorrow. I don't want to be sick. But I have pretty much climbed out of it now. I've been zincing it and Robitussing it, and I think by tomorrow morning I'll be completely clear. So yay.
Good there.
Oh, man. I gotta go home and get some food. Anyways, today I came across an article that I thought, yeah, I bet a lot of people are wondering about that. And the article was titled by Olga Khazan, K-H-A-Z-A-N. The article was titled, Why People Are Acting So Weird. And by weird, she means unruly and volatile and seemingly out of control. Obviously, the most recent weirdness was when Will Smith smacked Chris Rock at the Oscars. I would say what in the world, but I know what in the world it is. I mean, it was just... Yeah. I didn't watch it at the time, but obviously the news coverage was everywhere. But, you know, quite correctly, Olga says that if you look closer, you can see people behaving badly on smaller scales. This was published on March 30th, so it was published yesterday. Apparently last week, a man was arrested after he punched a gate agent at Atlanta Airport. Olga notes that the gate agent looked like he was about to punch back until his female colleague, bless her soul, stood on some chairs and said no to the entire situation. No, no, no. Yeah, so, I mean, people are, like, snowboarding in masks, and people are masked and hollering at each other, being rah, 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 rah. Americans are driving more recklessly, crashing their cars and killing pedestrians at higher rate. Early 2021 saw the highest number of unruly passenger incidents ever, according to the FAA. In February, a plane bound for Washington, D.C. had to make an emergency landing in Kansas City after a man tried to break into the cockpit. Healthcare workers say their patients are behaving more violently. At one point, Missouri hospitals plan to outfit nurses with panic buttons. Schools, too, are reporting an uptick in disruptive behavior. In 2020, the U.S. murder rate rose by nearly a third. So, stuff is going on. Car thefts spiked 14% last year. Carjackings have surged in various cities. And if there were a national tracker of school board meeting hissy fits, it would be heaving with data points right now. Although I don't know that hissy fits is the right way to describe that. So the question is, what's going on? Well, we're all stressed out. That's, you know, perhaps some of it. One likely explanation for the spike in bad behavior is the rage, frustration, and stress coursing through society. Quote, the number one reason by far, a psychologist said, was feeling stressed and overwhelmed. The pandemic has created a lot of high-stress, low-rewards situations. Someone else said, quote, when someone has that angry feeling, it's because of a combination of some sort of provocation. Their mood at the time of the provocation and how they interpret that provocation. Not only are people encountering more provocations, staffing shortages, mask mandates, but also their mood is worse when provoked. Americans don't really like each other very much right now. And apparently people are drinking more. Oh yeah, that's a real, that's a solution. People have been coping with the pandemic by drinking more and doing more drugs. And a lot of these instances involve someone using a substance, a psychologist said. Whether they're drinking before they get on the flight, a lot of auto accidents, including aggression-driven auto accidents, come from substances. People have been drinking 14% more days a month during the pandemic. And drug overdoses have increased since 2019. Substance abuse treatment, never especially easy to come by, was further disrupted by COVID. Americans also have been buying more guns. Man, which might help explain the uptick in the murder rate. You know, or it might be because of defund the police. Gun sales spiked in 20 and 21, and more people are being killed with guns than before. In 2020, the police recovered nearly twice as many firearms within a year of purchase as they did in 2019. A short time-to-crime window that suggests criminal intent. Yeah. So, though a gun doesn't make it more likely that you'll try to kill someone, it makes it more likely you'll be successful if you try. So another point is that we're social beings and isolation is changing us. The pandemic loosed ties between people. Kids stopped going to school, parents stopped going to work, parishioners stopped going to church, people this People stopped gathering in general. Sociologists think all of this isolation shifted the way we behave. Can you imagine if all of us were only in the metaverse? Quote, we're more likely to break rules when our bonds to society are weakened, a sociologist said. When we become untethered, we tend to prioritize our own private interest over the interests of others. Can you imagine if we were all living in the metaverse? And the only purpose of the metaverse was to coddle us and to make it as fun as possible for us. So, the turn of the century scholar Emile Durkheim called this state anomie, A-N-O-M-I-E, I don't know what that, or a lack of social norms that leads to lawlessness. Sounds like a lack of moral code to me. Quote, we are moral beings to the extent that we are social beings. This person wrote, in the past 2 years, we've stopped being social, and in many cases, we've stopped being moral as well. And apparently, that's important. For all the people who thought, oh yeah, our science and our technologies, we can just wander away from all this outdated, antiquated moral stuff, and we don't need that. We don't need the Ten Commandments. We don't need some overarching being that might be looking down and wondering why we're behaving as badly as we are, etc., etc. Quote, this is from a criminologist, quote, we've got, I think, a generalized sense that the rules simply don't apply. In some places, he says, police arrested fewer people during the pandemic, and quote, when enforcement goes down, people tend to relax their commitment to the rules. Or maybe when you're talking about defund the police all the time, people get to think that people, the policemen, aren't going to arrest as many people. So, anyways, though it's been a life-saving tool throughout the pandemic, mask wearing has likely made this problem worse. Just as it's easier to scream at someone on Twitter than in real life, it's easier to rage at a masked flight attendant than one whose face you can fully see. Quote, you don't really see a human being so much as you're seeing someone masked. Although the article goes on to say, one study found that face masks don't dehumanize the wearer, another small experiment found that they do impair people's ability to detect emotions. They go on in another part of this article say that mental illness probably doesn't explain this. Depends on how you define mental illness, but that's fine. That they were saying, et cetera, et cetera. But in early 2020, some psychiatrists suspended group therapy and other in-person sessions. Later, emergency rooms filled with COVID-19 patients, limiting capacity for psychiatric intake. Hospitals have periodically repurposed psych beds for COVID-19 patients, suggesting shortages nationwide. At one point last year, Virginia's mental hospitals were dangerously full, and several had stopped admitting new patients because of a lack of staffing. Staffing issues have also plagued hospitals in New York and elsewhere. The majority of people with mental illness, though, are not violent. Most of people with mental illness who commit violence have other problems, such as anger issues and substance abuse or recent trauma. People with severe mental illness are only a tiny percentage of the population, and past research shows that they only commit 3-5% of the violent acts. So they couldn't possibly be responsible for the huge surge in misbehavior. One moment, getting my mail. Okay, according to the FAA, 72% of unruly passenger incidents last year were mask-related, suggesting they have more to do with politics than paranoia. Regarding the people causing scenes, I think those are the a-holes, said Tom, former director of the Mental Institute of Mental Health and author of Healing. It's so important to distinguish people who have a mental illness from people who just do egregious things. Some of the antisocial behavior Americans are seeing will resolve itself as the pandemic loosens its grip. I'm not sure. In most of the country, masks are coming off, people are resuming normal gatherings, and kids have returned to school. The rules and the rhythms that kept America running smoothly are settling back into place. Improvement will be slow, but experts think, human interaction will eventually return to the pre-pandemic status quo. The rise in disorder may simply be the unsavory side of a uniquely difficult time, one in which people were tested and some failed. Quote, there have been periods where the entire nation is challenged. Someone said, this is like somebody. Quote, and you see both things, people who do heroic things and people who do some very defensive things, protective and oft times ridiculous things. Okay, so. Oops. Turned off my Bluetooth thingy there. So here is the hypothesis out of all this, and then I gotta go. Here's the hypothesis in all this. Well, all of this stuff is just caused by stresses and by, you know, understandable things, and people are just a little stressed out. And so when those stresses disappear, then everything's just gonna go back to normal. That's the hypothesis. So I have a different hypothesis. And my hypothesis, not surprisingly, has to do with the flesh. Yes, those stresses probably contributed to all the things that are going on, but those stresses gave the flesh some place to stick the knife. And what we see from people is that some of those people, when the knife goes in, then they allow the flesh to tell them lies that amplifies their stress. And according to my little theory, if you give the flesh space in your life, it just takes more space and more space and more space and more space. And it's very hard to beat it back into its little hole. Unless, A, you have an understanding and a moral framework, and you have a relationship with Christ, and B, you're actually aware of what's happening, because the flesh will delude you into believing that it's everybody else's fault, not yours. And so since it's everybody else's fault, there's nothing you need to do to change, because it's everyone else's fault. So, do I think that automagically, just when the masks finally come off and there's less stress, that just automagically everything's going to go back to normal? No, it is not. The people who have given in to their flesh during this pandemic have given the flesh a foothold in their lives, and the flesh is going to exploit that. And there's really only one answer for this. And that is an adoption of a moral code that has enough strength in it that people are willing to change their behavior. And that really requires the work of the Holy Spirit. And so if people don't think they need God in their lives, and they don't think they need a moral code, and they have given themselves over to the flesh all these months, that is not going to change. They will find something else. The flesh will find something else within them to be upset about so it can keep pushing them down this road of destruction. So I think we can easily look back over the last decade or so and see how things just keep getting more and more and more contentious. And it does not help to have philosophies that are running around in America pitting us against them. None of that is going to help. Jesus will help. Moral code will help. And certainly three words will help. Love your neighbor. That's what the solution is. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.